Hey there, everybody. Ken here from This Show Is So Gay. What a year 2011 has been for our little gay radio show. Earlier this year, a devastating fire ripped through the building housing our radio station, completely destroying it. This summer, an earthquake rattled our equipment, and just last week, Hurricane Irene hit us with full fury, soaking all of our new equipment. Now, we thought everything was fine after Irene, and we were able to do a new show this week. And indeed, we forged ahead with this week's guest, comedian and producer, Tom Ragu. Tom and I had just the most delightful, insightful, and hilarious chat about comedy, politics, Dancing with the Stars, Oprah's network, weight issues in the gay community, and of course, his mom. And then, I kid you not, right after Tom and I spoke, lightning struck, the clouds descended, more buckets of water poured down, and the station was again rained on, soaking both the equipment and the podcast. This show Is So Gay is a labor of love, and we're actually about to celebrate our third year on the air. I can tell you, having hosted 150 hours of this show, the absolute low moments come when you have to tell a guest, hey, you were awesome. Thank you so much for your time. Oh, by the way, we lost the entire interview you did with us. It's happened before, and everybody has been so gracious, but it's just plain mortifying nonetheless. Tom Ragu is a delight, and he's about to open his third season of the Tom Ragu Comedy Review on September 12th at the legendary Stonewall Inn. Please, please go check him out at tomragu.com. That's TOMRAGU.com. Trust me, if you had heard his interview, which you never will, and you're not already a fan of his, you would instantly have been one. Entertaining guy, to say the very least. Please go check him out. For this week's show, I present to you a Rainbow Rewind from April 27th of this year. It was our first show back after the fire, and we were joined by local radio host extraordinaire Steve West and Julie from the Juliettes to talk about their hit single, Hooray, You're Gay. This show Is So Gay bounced back then, and we will bounce back again. As always, thank you so much for your support. Hey there, everybody. It is April the 27th, 2011, and you are listening to This Show Is So Gay. I'm Ken, and I promised no matter what, we would have a new show this week, and indeed, a new show this week. I am joined tonight by Steve West, the host of Live and Local here in Brattleboro, Vermont, on WKVT. Steve West, you're the guest.
I'm on your damn show. How'd that happen?
How gay are you? Now, I would say that you right now are a gay enabler.
A gay enabler?
You are a gay enabler. You have enabled This Show Is So Gay to broadcast tonight, and all of our listening audience is enormously appreciative, but you do need to be comfortable with the fact that you are indeed a gay enabler.
I can work with that, Ken.
Okay.
I can work with that. I'm willing to learn a lot of things.
Good.
And the enabling thing, I'm happy to do that as
this
well.
This is good. Now, This Show Is So Gay has been on for about 2.5 years.
You don't say.
You are now one of, I think it's only three straight men.
Is that right?
To ever be on This Show Is So Gay. You are in.
How do you know I'm straight? How do you know I'm straight?
You are one of three straight men to ever be on This Show Is So Gay. You have very esteemed company. Very esteemed company.
Do tell.
You are joined by Barry Schneck, my father, also straight,
mm-hmm.
And it's you, Barry Schneck, and Governor Peter Shumlin. That's
wow.
Pretty good.
That's good company, although I don't know your dad. I have a hunch he's probably a good guy.
Seems like a nice guy.
Yeah.
From when I met him a few times, he seems like a really nice guy.
Fair enough. Oh, Shumlin or your dad?
My dad.
Ah, good one.
So look, now you're on the show. We're going to talk some news. We're going
to
welcome a guest.
Glad to.
We're going to play some music.
Happy
now,
to help.
Are you okay being in the guest chair over there?
It's kind of weird, I have to say. I mean, I spend a lot of every morning just sort of either solo doing my own radio thing or talking to other people. But I'm honest to God, I'm loving the idea of not having to have the spotlight,
look
so to speak.
Look at that. So. Now, can our listeners around the world listen to you on Live and Local 9 a.m. to noon every day, Monday through Friday?
Oh, Ken. Ken, you innocent boy. You can't stream radio shows on the internet.
And yet, I heard you can. Let's talk some gay news. We have gay news to talk about. And I even queued up a sports gay story for you. Because you apparently like the sports.
I'm a hockey player, but I don't follow sports because I think it's very silly that millionaires run around chasing things and we all watch and give them more money.
Yes.
So.
Some of them are gay too. Not that many though.
Whatever it takes.
Yeah. So this is a story about the baseball I don't know if you know
with
the baseball.
The gay?
With the gay. Well, not exactly. So this is, there's a team apparently called the Atlanta Braves who have not realized that it is indeed offensive to still have a Native American.
Thank you for noticing. Redskins. Out there. Yeah, I know. It's heartbreaking, but we'll go there another time.
I mean, the Chiefs, they're fine. But yeah, that's not the gay show. That's the sports show happening come on right over show. There with that 14-year-old Dan that I can see through the window broadcasting a Red Sox game.
Dan's here. I knew it.
Dan's here. So Atlanta Braves pitching coach Roger McDowell has been accused of targeting. This was just, I tell you, Roger maybe McDowell. 2 hours ago. Got latest breaking gay news. Roger McDowell has been accused of targeting a group of male fans last weekend at a Giants game in San Francisco, allegedly asking them, quote, are you a homo couple or a threesome? Which is kind of cute. Mega attorney Gloria. I want to be a mega attorney.
Right. Yeah. That's a goal.
Yeah. Mega attorney Gloria Allred announced the allegations just a few hours ago in a news conference representing a family of four who claim they watched McDowell make the homophobic remark and then use a baseball bat.
No, for real.
I can't even. Sometimes it would help if I read ahead in the stories
probably
before
good idea.
I got to them on the air. He did some stuff with a baseball bat. Let's just leave it there. It was kind of offensive.
He's a baseball player. What?
Yeah, not so much. So here's the deal, and we talk about this a lot on this show. He will undoubtedly tomorrow, Roger McDowell, there will be an apology of some sort.
Oh, yeah.
What apology, it's my favorite topic on the show. What apology, Steve West of Live and Local, 9 a.m. to noon on WKVT, what apology would satisfy you? What apology would you hear and say, oh, he's really sorry?
Wow.
I know.
Wow, that's an excellent question.
Every week, someone is apologizing for the homophobic thing they said.
Right, right.
Usually within 6 or 7 hours, which I actually think doesn't mean they're sorry.
Yeah.
Usually at the urging of their publicist or mega attorney, Gloria Allred. What apology would satisfy you and make you think, all right, this person, they're sorry?
Oh boy, I could spend an hour probably answering that.
I know.
I'm one of my favorite areas of interest is authenticity in human beings. And frankly, it would almost have nothing to do with the behavior, the act itself, the depth of change that's required for somebody to not be that. Can I swear on your show?
I'll edit it.
Okay. To not be just an
yes.
It requires a certain divulgence from the soul, a certain breakdown that has to happen that says, oh my God, I didn't realize what an asshole I was being.
Right.
And to say I'm sorry for a particular behavior in no way owns that behavior. And frankly, I just can't imagine somebody come up with something that would allay the affront, you know, to all of us, you know, not about who it's directed at. I can't imagine, or rarely have I seen in public performance anybody actually get to that place of contrition, of utter authenticity to say, like, I had no idea how horrible I just was.
Yeah. He will be at a press conference tomorrow. I will just tell you before it happens. He will say, I regret that my remarks were misinterpreted, as was my handling of the baseball bat in an inappropriate way. I was trying to show a new technique that I invented called the McDowell. He will say, this does not at all reflect the Atlanta Braves staff. We love our fans, even the gays.
Even the gays.
So that will then satisfy mega attorney Gloria Allred. So that's the look. I did a sports story for you.
Nice shooting.
Yeah. Now over in Planned Parenthood, gosh, there's been a lot of focus on Planned Parenthood lately.
Oh, you know, they're all about the abortion. You know that, right?
97%.
97 or something. Or maybe it's okay, 3% turns out.
Did you hear that he said, yes. And then when they called him on it, what did the guy say? I don't even know who it was.
Said,
it was a senator.
I at no point was meaning to be factual.
Yes. I wasn't trying to be factually correct. This is part of the problem of me deriving so much of my news from Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, which is problematic. I don't know if you're a Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me listener.
Love it.
Yes.
Don't always get to hear it. Love it every time. It's one of the most entertaining things on radio.
You know I was a contestant on Wait, Wait,
Don't Tell
Me. I
did not. Oh, I heard it. Oh my God, I heard
so
it.
So much fun.
I remember hearing that.
I peaked, and well, now here I am tonight. But it's great seeing you, and thanks for doing the show with me. But yes,
sure.
That was kind of a shiny moment. Oh, so Planned Parenthood, there are all these billboards right now that are advertising services to the LGBT community in rural New York. Now, the thing about New York, it's kind of the thing about Vermont. There are rural parts.
Oh, yeah.
And they're conservative. It's not a totally liberal state.
Right.
New York, even more so, that New York City is liberal, but then there's all these other parts that are unbelievably conservative. So rural New York, very Republican oriented. They've prompted objections from critics, including a state senator who says the billboards use tax dollars to promote same-sex marriage. So just a direct link there from promoting services to promoting same-sex marriage.
Wow.
Because you really, as you well know, you can't say gay without leading the parade.
No, of course.
course not. It's just kind of everybody knows it. So that's all the deal with Planned Parenthood. It's not that exciting of a story, but we'll keep our eyes on it. Now, this is one that I know that you will be into. Over in Minnesota. Have you been to Minnesota?
My son was born in Minnesota.
No, he wasn't.
Yes, he was.
On February 20th?
February 20th, 1995. Yeah, I lived there for the six.
That.
Yes. Yes, let's go down that list.
With Kurt Cobain, Sandy Duncan, and Ken Schneck. I'm just putting that out there. It's quite, I mean, that usually is the triad. Mm-hmm. It's called the entertainment triad.
Right.
In social media, in really just popular media, people say, oh, the triad, and they mean Kurt Cobain, Sandy Duncan, and Ken Schneck.
Naturally, yeah. And I knew Duncan the whole time. I remember, go back into the day, you know, I knew there was something special about her.
Oh, I love her. She's still around.
Is she really?
Oh, yeah. She's still playing Peter Pan.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
Grandma Peter Pan. So, Republican lawmakers in Minnesota announced a plan yesterday to fast-track their efforts to put a constitutional ban on same-sex marriage before voters in 2012. The St. Paul Pioneer Press reports on the plan to put the amendment on the 2012 general election ballot, despite the fact that Minnesota law already prohibits same-sex marriage. Mm-hmm. So same-sex marriage already prohibited by the law, but that's not enough.
You got to double the law sometimes.
You do.
You know,
because
make it, sure
makes it stronger. It really does. It's not strong enough when it's a law, but if it's a double law,
right,
then you know, yeah, that's ridiculous.
So if you break the law and it turns out to be a double law and they give you double the punishment, you're like, oh, geez, if I'd known it was a double law, I never would have done it.
I know you can't get married, but now you can't get married twice.
Exactly right. And four of you, forget about
yes.
it.
That might be legal in Minnesota, but as long as they're of the opposite sex, four opposite sexes, because
right.
that's the way it works. So this is from the Pioneer Press, quote, in Minnesota, the only way to get a constitutional amendment on the ballot is to have both legislative chambers approve it by simple majorities. Such a bill is not subject to a veto or any other action by the governor. So we want to make sure that we pass a law that no one can interfere with.
Oh my God.
That no one can interfere with. So they're going to put this on the ballot. And this is, to me, it's not just, okay, so it's one thing when the state has said nothing yet, which some of them have not. Some of the states have said nothing yet on gay marriage.
Right.
It's another thing when they've said something on gay marriage, either they've said yes to gay marriage, and then the legislators are saying, we need to pour, it's passed. We have gay marriage. We are going to pour tons of money into getting rid of it.
Oh, that would never happen, Ken.
Right. And then the other, this is even worse because they already have it. But they just want to make sure that you know.
Yeah. By the way, in case you was wondering,
yeah,
I should do a Minnesota accent.
Yes. Was that your Minnesota
no,
accent?
No, no. That's my regular kind of dopey guy accent.
Our buddy Jenny Karstad will not enjoy your Minnesota accent.
Oh,
she
no,
does
I won't. Sorry,
well.
Jenny. Yeah. Jenny,
I'm
yeah.
just saying.
She's, I don't have a good one. I don't have a good Vermont one either.
They want you to know, listen, not only do we not have gay marriage, additionally, we do not have gay marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And we want you to know that. And this is what they're spending. I mean, to do a ballot initiative, these things take time
yeah.
and energy and money.
Creates jobs, Ken. Come on. You're not anti-jobs, are you?
That's very funny. I really hope it's not creating jobs. It probably is.
Well, on some level, yeah.
Oh, no. That's yeah. not good at all.
Tragic.
So how do we prioritize these things? How are there people who are saying either, look, we have gay marriage, and so we need to pour time and money into getting rid of it, or we already outlawed. We need to pour time and money into making sure that people know. How is it that we prioritize that?
Well, it's only because the other priority for some would be, why don't we just make illegal the gay?
Yes.
You know, because that would solve it all. We wouldn't have to do all these lesser laws. You
yeah.
know, just say the gay's no good. And people, honest to God, in their hearts, if they could say such a thing out loud, they'd mean it. You know, and they'd
some of them actually
it.
Say it out loud.
Well, I know. Yeah, God knows.
I would like
but
to point your attention yeah. to the pitching coach of the Atlanta Braves, who said something very similar. So, yeah, so that's where we're prioritizing our time, energy, and money in Minnesota.
Yeah.
I think that there are more important things. I'm just
indeed.
Putting that out there.
Indeed.
Now, you are not a TV watcher. We've established this
no.
when I have appeared as a guest on your show. So me saying, you're not going to believe who won RuPaul's Drag Race, nothing to you, right?
I know RuPaul, but I don't know about a drag race. RuPaul is now doing cars.
So close, except a reality show where the contestants have to be the next drag superstar. So I just want to put out there, because we cover a lot, RuPaul's Drag Race, very enjoyable show.
Cool, I'm sure.
Very, it's educational. It's not at all educational. it's just entertaining. So just so you know, and you can go home and tell the wife and child, Raja did indeed win RuPaul's Drag Race. And I know that's a spoiler.
That'll be a load off.
Said,
I know.
Spoiler alert. Turn off your radio. But Raja did indeed win.
I had a lot of money running on Raja. Thank God I'm a rich man today.
She creates jobs. Drag culture in Brattleboro, Vermont, not so much.
Kind of non-existent, but I couldn't say that I know. Is it non-existent?
No, it is non-existent.
Yeah.
Gay culture in Vermont. See, now here's the thing. Not in Vermont, in Brattleboro. I was in New York City last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I went out on Friday night. I'm still a little tired. I know you're still a little tired.
Yes, I am.
Which means, I don't know if you know, we're old, but was out in New York City on Friday night, was out at a bar in the West Village, went to a restaurant in the West Village, kosher for Passover. It wasn't. Nice. Cowgirl Hall of Fame, kosher for Passover. That's
known
new.
For that.
Yes, it really is. That cornbread, it seems leavened. And that the Jews could have grabbed that on their way out. But indeed, sorry, Mom, who's probably listening. I swear, kosher for Passover.
Sure.
Cowgirl Hall of Fame. I went and had a great time. Went to an old stomping ground that defined my sophomore year of college and my academics. But mostly this bar. And was thinking, all right, so my partner and I have a gay life here. Mostly lesbians, who I enjoy immensely. Mm-hmm. But in terms of gay men, I really don't have that many gay men in my life here in Brattleboro. And I kind of felt like I was a bit lacking in that.
Wow. What are you doing about that?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying and really nothing. But it, I don't know. There was a table next to us at the Kosher for Passover Cowgirl Hall of Fame of gay men. And I'm looking at them saying, oh, you don't live where I live.
Yeah. How unlikely, a table full of gay men.
I know, in the West Village, at a place called the Cowgirl Hall of Fame.
Right, who knew?
During Passover. So, there you go. Anyway, we are going to play a song. This is very exciting because we are going to have one of the artists who created this new hit song that's raising awareness. This is a song called Hooray, You're Gay by the Juliettes. I think it's time to welcome a guest. Are you okay with welcoming a guest?
Very much so.
Julie, are you there?
I am here.
Let me introduce you. I have to say, I normally always write my own bios for the guest, but every now and then an artist, a group writes a bio so much better than what I could have done. So I'm using yours. I'm quoting here. If Rita, Steve,
yes,
if Rita Hayworth,
yes,
Veronica Lake, Elizabeth Taylor, and Katharine Hepburn decided they wanted to rock your world, which is many a gay man's fantasy, I must say, you would have to look no further. You would have to look no further than the Juliets. Steve, imagine Green Day splicing their music with the Go-Go's. Mad Men meets Mad Max. Add a dash of Chanel No. 5, a sapphire martini, and a Cuban cigar, or as I like to say, the West Village. Here to talk about her new... I'm just saying, Julie. Here to talk about their new hit single, Hooray, You're Gay. Julie from the Juliets, welcome to This Show Is So Gay.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here.
How that... Now, you are on our first live broadcast after quite the eventful couple weeks for This Show Is So Gay, and we're thrilled to have you.
I'm totally thrilled to be here. I'm so glad you love the song.
Oh, love the song. Not only do we love the song, but there's a dance remix.
There is a dance remix. Yes, our guitar player, Liz, is just a brilliant musician, and she took all the raw tracks and re-spliced it together. So yeah, there's a techno dance remix for everyone.
We're going to play that a little later on. All right, so let's back up a step. For people who do not know the Juliets, what's the scoop on the Juliets? Where are you guys? Where are you playing? What's your style?
We are out of Seattle.
Okay.
And we are kind of Green Day meets the Go-Go's.
Nice.
We have our foundation in rock and punk. And then because our songs are pretty melodic, we tend to lean a little bit toward pop as well. We call it pump rock.
Nice.
Like pumps.
I love
pump
that.
Rock. And then, you know, everybody in the band is of a certain age, which the music industry doesn't think that women of a certain age are sexy and vibrant and viable. And so we decided to put this band together to prove the industry wrong, that we have something to say and that we can rock just as well as counterparts that are 20 years younger and maybe even better.
Look at that. The Juliets telling the world you can rock at age 25.
25, exactly.
Nice one, Schneck.
Good? It's not my first time doing this show, Steve. I can do this. I know what I'm doing.
No, flattery will get you everywhere.
Woo-hoo! All right. Now, what is the Seattle scene like? All I know is that it rains and there's coffee.
It's raining buckets right now.
Look
it is
that.
Gray
in
and
Seattle?
Disgusting. And the only reason why someone is not getting shanked today is because I have had a truckload of coffee.
Look at that.
See, that's the beauty of the bean.
I don't even know if you're allowed to shank here in Vermont.
Oh,
I don't
sure.
think that. Oh, you can? Okay.
Sure.
I didn't even know if that's legal.
I literally mean shank somebody. It's been raining here since September. Pretty
wow.
much nonstop.
Murder is not illegal in
and
Seattle.
And by that I mean September 88, because that's what I've read about Seattle. That's what I know.
Oh, it's amazing. I was really hoping that global warming would kick in here and it would change the weather, but it hasn't happened yet.
This ecological update brought to you by Julie of the Juliets. That's fantastic.
The upside of global warming.
Yes. Yes. The Juliets, they're for it. Now, Hooray, You're Gay.
Yes.
Reflect.
I was raised in the theater. Actually, most of us were. Gays have always been a part of my personal landscape.
Fantastic.
It wasn't until I was in junior high school that I even knew that anybody had a problem with anyone being gay. And so, fast forward to about 6 months ago, I have a very good friend who guest hosts on the Stephanie Miller program every Friday.
Okay.
And when I went to live stream the show, I Googled it, and all of the links were about her coming out. It wasn't about her show
yeah.
or anything about the guests that are on there. It was just about how she had come out. And I thought, well, this is ridiculous. It's 2010, and this is how the media is still treating this, like it's some sort of an amazing epiphany. And that, you know, coupled with the suicides and all of this stuff,
right.
it pissed me off. And so I thought, it's not enough that people are talking about that it's okay to be gay. That's like telling somebody, it's okay that you have brown hair.
Right.
Or, you know, it's okay that you're, you know, 25.
Right.
It's like a non-sentence. Well, I celebrate my gays, and so I wrote a song about celebrating being gay.
Look at that. Now, how long did it take you to write it?
Well, I actually wrote it, I wrote half of it in the shower. And I will say this is a collaboration between me and the band. I just wrote the bones. I started getting the rhymes in the shower. So I got out of the shower. I wrote down the rhymes. I got back into the shower. I rinsed myself off, and then I typed them all out and tried to plunk them out on the guitar a little bit. And then I drove frantically down to my guitar player's house, and we put the demo together, and then we brought it to the band, and the band fleshed the song out.
Love that. And then you started putting it out there, and you decided, we're not going to take the 100% of the profits for this.
No, we're actually not going to take any of the profits for it. After we cover our costs, 100% of the net is going to go to It Gets Better.
Now, why It Gets Better?
Because I feel like I have two kids, and my son, this is so funny, I've been nagging my son about being a gay son for, I don't know, 5 years now. He's 14.
As in encouraging him?
Much to my chagrin.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And I know. Thank you. I'm like, a gay son would keep his room clean.
Yes.
But the kids his age, they're starting to just not care. And I think that's a beautiful thing. But we also live in Seattle,
right,
where, you know, Seattle is apparently the second most gay-friendly city in the country. And so here it's not a big deal. But other places in the country where children are being ostracized and made to feel horrible for it, that's just silly.
Right.
And Dan Savage is out here, and it seems to me that the best place that we can put the money for this is in helping the next generation gain the acceptance and equality that they deserve.
Now, I will say, but I enjoy It Gets Better immensely. I don't love sometimes some of the famous people doing it because I think, and I know Dan Savage has said quite a bit about this, because I think sometimes it gets away from the original intent was to have normal gay people just saying, hey, it really does get better. Because when you have a famous person, when you have President Obama saying it gets better, it sort of conveys the message, and you will be president, which hopefully they will be.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully they will be. But I love when there's just random individual people. My thing about It Gets Better that I love even more right now is that there's a whole new slew of videos where people are saying, look, it doesn't just get better. It gets amazing. It gets amazing. Because if it's really, really bad and it gets better, the baseline is perhaps not where you want it to be. But when you say, oh my gosh, it gets amazing, I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
That's the whole point of the song. I didn't want it to be okay. I don't want it to be tepid.
Right.
I think whatever it is you are, whoever it is you are, you should celebrate that. We should all have incredible self-esteem. If we did, this country would be in a vastly different place than it is right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I want everybody celebrating. And, you know, once you're in a gay community where everyone is happy and acceptant of themselves, there is no community that has more fun.
Right.
There just isn't.
There's not.
You cannot beat the gays for having fun.
Not today or any other day. That's my motto.
No.
Well, I am sorry that your son isn't gay. I think it's something you two can work through.
It's something you can learn to live with.
Yes.
No matter how much I pressure him.
I know.
It's just not going to happen.
You know, I have to say one of my favorite lines is I'm quasi Margaret Cho obsessed. And she often says, I would rather have a gay son. You don't have to worry about your gay son shooting up a school. That would get in the way of yearbook. Which I just think is a really nice line. Isn't that nice? Isn't that, I think.
You also don't have to worry about your gay son knocking up some girl.
No.
Oh, my.
No. A drag queen, maybe. But I don't know about some girl. And to be 25 years old and have a 14-year-old son, we should talk about that on a separate show.
I know. It's my pact with Satan. That's how I stay so youthful and have such a geriatric child.
I thought I was the only one with that pact. But I see now that they have them in Seattle, too. Now, you guys have a whole marketing campaign as well, which is this very easy 1-2-3 system.
Yes. Yes. We would like people to go to either iTunes, Amazon, eMusic, or any of the download portals. Download the song or go to hoorayyourgay.com. Download the song. So it's 1-2-3 go. So one download, 2 Facebook updates, and 3 tweets.
Done. Done.
Let's spread the message.
And number 4, gay radio show.
Heck yeah, gay radio show.
I'm just saying. Now, a couple things about the Juliets. One word,
yes.
I don't know if you know one of the most popular words in all of your press materials. So let's talk about this word. Often in describing you all and just in connected with your activity, the word delicious comes up. This isn't me.
Does it?
This, yeah. Oh, you should really look at your materials. The word delicious. Now, is any particular resonance with the word delicious? Anything you want to deconstruct for our listeners over the air about delicious?
Well, the only thing that I will really say is that one of the things that people think of when they think of women being vibrant is being young and I don't even know the word. That youth, that there's something spectacular about youth. And I think that grown-up, mature women can be yummy or yummier than our younger counterparts. Because
nice.
wisdom breeds a certain amount of cachet, as it were.
That's what I hear. That's, I love that. Now, the other thing that you had requested, which again, I'm more than content to work through on the air, you are looking for a gay husband, are you not?
I really am.
And you had certain...
I really am.
And you had criteria, which I could read, but I would so much rather have you tell everyone the criteria for your gay husband.
All right. My gay husband must be fluent in sarcasm.
Nice.
My gay husband must love dancing.
Okay.
And shopping for shoes.
Done. Wow. I cannot tell you how you just narrowed down no one.
I know. It must be in Seattle.
And what else?
It must be geographically desirable.
Oh, what does that mean?
That means within a 30-minute drive of my home.
Oh.
Wow. That's more narrowing.
I don't know a lot of Seattle
or
gays.
I need to be brought into somebody else's city and visit gay husbands everywhere.
Okay. What about the band?
The whole band. Oh yes. No, the band needs, we need a lot of stuff.
It's a group package.
We'd like to be able to go around the country and rock the anthem at any pride that will have us.
Awesome.
Nice.
Oh, we can, let's see what we can do to make that happen. So what is coming up for the Juliettes?
Well, we are playing Cinco de Mayo out here at a wonderful little woman-owned club called the Skylark.
Awesome.
And then right after that, we're going to be going into the studio to record our full-length first album.
So exciting. Now, how many of the songs are written? Are you all set?
We have about 25 right now. And, yeah, they're all originals. And we also have a ghostwriter. And you're on the East Coast, so you'll know this. I grew up in Philadelphia. And, you know, the hometown band in Philadelphia is the Hooters.
Oh, I love the
Remember
Hooters.
Remember the Hooters in the 80s?
Are you shaking your head over there? Do you not know the Hooters?
I'm aware of the Hooters.
Oh, my gosh. And we danced.
Right.
And Satellite.
And All You Zombies and Carla with a K.
I think I'm going to queue up a little Hooters when we're done here. But yes, because they are here. Okay. So yes, the Hooters.
Okay. So Eric Bazillion from the Hooters is a friend, and he has also donated 3 very naughty songs.
Oh.
To our little project out here.
Yeah.
And so we're excited about that. He has a wonderful rock pop sensibility. And most of our songs are fairly naughty.
That's going to be so much fun.
I believe he co-wrote Time After Time for Cyndi Lauper. Am I
believe
right?
He is one of the co-writers on that. He also co-wrote the majority of Joan Osborne's breakout album.
That's true, too.
Joan Osborne, a fellow NYU Violet.
Is that a fact?
She is. She Ooh. Is. Now, tell everyone your favorite Hooters song, because I'm going to have to make you do something that all of our guests do. So first you have to tell me your favorite Hooters song.
My favorite Hooters song is Where Did the Children Go?
I love that one. So now here's what we do with every guest. This is the part of the show, Julie from the Juliettes, where you tell our listening audience what your song choice says about you. Little psychoanalysis.
Not bad.
I know. Isn't that great?
That's a good idea.
What does the Hooters, Where Do All the Children Go say? What does that say about Julie from the Juliettes? Ooh.
I love power duets.
Nice.
I love songs that are thought-provoking.
Okay.
I think the world would be a much better place if we took better care of our children.
Look at that. That seems important.
I love songs that just pull your heart out and show it to you like that one does.
Oh, see, look, that was easy. And I didn't even tell you would have to do that.
Oh, no, it's all good.
All right. Well, we are going to play. I'm going to queue up a little All You Zombies because that is my favorite one from the Hooters. You're doing pretty darn good stuff. Where can folks go to learn more about all the cool things that the Juliettes are doing?
They can go to juliettesband.com.
Easy enough. So gay men out there, she loves a power duet. Interpret that as you will.
And shoes.
and sarcasm, but it's all about the power duet. On behalf of everyone, I love that you guys recorded this. I need to apparently be writing far more songs in my shower. That has not been happening nearly enough or, you know, ever. And so you guys keep on singing. You're going to keep us posted when you release this full-length album, correct?
Absolutely.
Julie, an absolute pleasure speaking with you. Say hi to the rest of the Juliettes and keep on singing.
I will. Thank you so much for having me.
All the best, Julie.
Israelites, all you saw.
never, ever would have thought I would have played the Hooters on This Show Is So Gay.
I didn't see it coming.
My brother, Joel Schneck, do you know him?
I don't know Joel.
He is going to be thrilled. The Hooters were big in the Schneck family.
Is that right?
And in particular, that song, because it was all about Let My People Go. Love nice. That. Love that lyric.
Gotcha.
Big
gotcha.
Lyric. I must say, you're doing very well in the co-host chair.
Yeah?
Just want to validate you halfway through
I
the show.
I appreciate that. I've never and co-hosted anything.
I didn't even tell you the rules. Like, you're doing well even rules. Without the rules. Usually, the rules are, if I point at you with my right hand, you say, oh my God, I never thought about it that way. And then if I point at you with my left hand, you're supposed to say some derivation of, oh, can you witty devil. But you're good. You're doing fine.
I'm doing what I can. If I'd known about the hand signals, I would have said a lot more.
Wait till we have to do the tagline at the end.
Damn.
Okay. I know. There's a lot coming up. There's a lot coming up. So the last show, the last live show we did was all about New England. So giving folks some updates on New England stories. Hopes were dashed. They were dashed in Rhode Island, where the state's gay house speaker, Democrat Gordon Fox.
They have a gay house?
Yeah, you're off the show. Democrat Gordon Fox, he said a marriage equality bill, it has no hope of passing this year. Fox says blame can be placed on the Ocean State Senate, where opposition was too strong to overcome resistance to gay marriage from Senate President Teresa Pava Weed. That's her name, Teresa Pava Weed.
I never Pava Weed in my life.
Who is a Democrat. I often highlight, I usually, there I say, a Republican, but she's a Democrat. She sealed the fate of a much-discussed marriage equality bill. Weed supports civil unions, which she told the Associated Press she was confident would pass in Rhode Island legislature. Rhode Island is one of two states in New England without same-sex marriage. Voters in Maine, the other one, reversed marriage equality in 2009. So the thing, this is actually kind of a cool story. Well, no, it's not a cool story. It's a bad story. Yeah. Bad story. But Governor Shumlin, one of the only other straight people to be on the show, straight men to be on the show. So okay. He actually visited. I don't know if you heard this. He actually went down to Rhode Island a few weeks ago.
I did hear that, yeah.
Which I just thought was fantastic because I always, that's the thing. And I think I've talked about this on your show. I always worry about Vermont that everything's so great here, fine, but are we doing enough to go to the other states and tell them how we did it?
That's pretty real.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or anywhere for that matter. Yeah.
Exactly. And I think that I'm curious to see what the interconnections here, because he, one of the things when he was in Rhode Island that he said was, look, you need to be really careful with civil unions because Vermont struggled with civil unions. There was a big backlash. Civil unions, great, but it's the other phrase for civil unions is not marriage.
Yeah.
It's just another way of defining civil unions. Yeah. Oh, you mean you're not marriage? Oh, I know that. So some of the people in the House thought, all right, civil unions, that'll pass. But gay marriage, it's not going to pass. So if they knew civil unions would pass, gay marriage wouldn't, would you have pursued civil unions?
If I were a governor or
governor, or legislator, anybody there in the Rhode Island House, you know that civil unions, you have a good sense civil unions will pass. You have a pretty darn good sense gay marriage, it's not going to happen. It's a tough one.
It is a tough one. It is a tough one. It depends on what sphere you're thinking in. In the political sphere, it's a tactical, almost mathematical move that sometimes happens that has, you know, I've talked about this on my show plenty, of gradated approaches to you know, social evolution or making change. Or sometimes it takes making the law to get the culture to catch up or to get the people to get hip to that. And I remember the civil union debate in this state, and it was you weren't here yet, right?
Yeah,
you
I was here. Not here.
It was pretty awful.
I don't think I was born yet.
It brought out some bad stuff in some people, for sure. But I honest to God think it was an exorcism of sorts. I don't mean that in the actual sense, but it was a catharsis that allowed people to put their prejudices out loud and actually run a candidate for governor, for God's sake. So I think in some ways it was a bloodletting that allowed the culture to move forward. So in that sense, it had a tactical approach. But I also still think, you know what? The big enchilada says there is no difference here. Let's please not have gradated difference, you know, and even if you lose that fight with grace and honor, you know.
I have many of these things. And have I told you I have? Because we have the civil union. We've not done the marriage. We will do the marriage if adoption ever becomes finalized. Yeah. Hopefully that'll happen. We do indeed have the, I think I've told you, the Westchester Domestic Partnership.
Yep.
So group discount at Rye Playland.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Sweet. Don't.
We can park in the married spots. No, I don't think they have that. No. It's really just a discount on the Tilt-A-Whirl, which you don't really want to do at Rye Playland, because you don't even want to walk by, because for a couple of years there, right before we moved here, people were flying off that ride and it was not good.
Oh, I was just thinking about the vomit and the sort of like mist.
No.
Oh my gosh.
No. Yeah. It was tragic. But we got a discount. So it was,
maybe that's their whole plan with the gays. Get them on the Tilt-A-Whirl.
I love that the Tilt-A-Whirl is now a Republican metaphor. Just put that out there. The fun thing is I do this show is that sometimes a comment will happen like that one, and I know, oh, that's going to be in the description for the show when we post it tomorrow. Tilt-A-Whirl.
Hard
Republican.
To not.
Yes, right. It's hard to not do that. Over in Japan, and obviously it's been, been rough going in Japan, but some gay happy news in Japan. Tokyo gave Japan its first openly gay male elected official this past Sunday when Taiga Ishikawa was picked to serve in the Toshima Ward Assembly, the governing body for that section of the city. This is a very big deal.
Yeah, I was thinking, I don't know anything about gay culture in Japanese culture, yeah. So it must be a big step.
Oh, yeah. It's a very big step. Very big step.
Yeah.
Ishikawa was one of 53 candidates vying for 36 seats. It's kind of like a select board rep here.
Right,
in
pretty much.
Except it would have been, 12 people vying for 36 seats. Ishikawa is a 36-year-old writer and activist. He said he hopes his election will encourage LGBT people who feel isolated.
Mm.
He said, quote, "I will do my best to make Toshima Ward more friendly." It sounds like a ward of a hospital. I know people still have wards. "I will do my best to make Toshima Ward more friendly to LGBT people, young people, and foreigners." And he's got a book that you can buy called Boku no Koreshi wa Doku ni Uru.
Love that book.
Yes.
Couldn't put it down.
Also called, I love this, "Where is My Boyfriend?" Which could either be a desperate plea,
mm-hmm.
It could be dating advice, or I could see that as a children's book title.
No, absolutely.
It's kind of like, "Where's Thumpkin?" No, right. "Where's My Boyfriend?"
Under here?
Yes.
Under here?
Yes.
In this?
Behind this door? In Seattle? No, he could be anywhere. He could be anywhere. And then over in Texas, have you done any Texas time?
I have hard stories to tell about Texas.
Do you really?
Yes. And it's, another day. I've not had good times in Texas, except for Austin.
Well, that's not really Texas.
That's what I figure. It's like the donut hole,
Yes. That's the concession stand in the Tilt-A-Whirl of Texas. I wanted to see how far I could get with this metaphor.
Nice.
Wasn't that good?
That was very good.
Yes. Now, you want the good Texas story or the bad Texas story?
Start with a good one and get me prepared for even thinking about Texas.
Okay. In Dallas County, a vote of 3-2 just yesterday added non-discrimination protections for trans. These are both transgender stories.
Mm-hmm.
Never enough transgender stories
mm-hmm.
in the news. A vote of 3-2 added non-discrimination protections for transgender workers in Dallas County yesterday. The order adds transgender, gender identity, and gender expression to the county's existing laws against workplace discrimination. It's pretty darn good, which currently provides protections against a whole host of other categories, calling the decision a historic moment for Dallas County. Commissioner Elba Garcia said the vote was about equality and justice for everybody.
Equality? You ought to get a badge for being transgender in Texas
I know,
any form.
Well, that brings us to the other story.
Oh, jeez. The other boot must drop.
Yes. 2 years after Texas became one of the last states to allow transgender people to use proof of their sex. See, I have to tell you, I am reading from a story, and it does say transgendered, and it's just an opportunity to tell people it. You just say transgender.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not gayed.
You might have been gayed when you don't remember,
yes.
And you got stuck being the gay.
There was a night I was lesbian, but I don't like to talk about it. It was in Northampton.
It involved alcohol, and it's just not a good start.
Yes. I was watching an Atlanta Braves game, and just want to put that out there. So 2 years after Texas became one of the last states to allow transgender people to use proof of their sex change to get a marriage license, Republican lawmakers are trying to roll back the clock. Advocates for the transgender, it really just says, now this isn't even about the story. Every now and then, it starts out about the story, and then it becomes about how this story is written.
And that's
where I am
your
right now. Advocates, and I quote, "Advocates for the transgendered say a proposal to bar transgendered people from getting married." I'm going to stop there. It's not good for transgender married people in Texas, but also we need to perhaps address some journalism criteria for folks who are writing about gay people.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a subtlety of word choice, certainly, that I think reveals ignorances from all of us and various things that we talk about. I see it as an opportunity to just, you may want to even just send a letter to it. If you know that's got a byline, say,
"I'm going to do
just want to let you know that's kind of not how we're saying it."
Where is this? This is from the Brattleboro Reformer.
No, it never is.
What? No, I'm just kidding. No, it's not. So that's what's going on in Texas.
Mm.
You did not have good times in Texas.
There's a great story I won't tell you. I wrote a song about it.
I've never heard you play, by the way.
Is that right?
I've never heard you play.
Yeah, I write songs. That's my principal identity. And then I do radio and other things just as, you know.
If you were to write a song about the past hour, what might it be titled?
I'd have to get Schneck in there. How could you not? I mean, it's a perfect phonetic. What it would be titled?
When are song titles too long? Because I have a proposal, but I think it's too long.
How about, well, you have one in mind now?
I think it's too long. I was going to
say. You never
know.
You can use parentheses. It's very, very popular.
Oh, yes. It would be parentheses, getting schnecked, and then end the parentheses on the tilt-a-whirl.
Ooh.
So the song is really on the tilt-a-whirl.
So schneck is a verb. Schneck is
It is. Yeah. You can conjugate it in all sorts of different ways, as they do here in Brattleboro. I've learned that. My students do it all the time.
Is that right?
And in my new position as on the Brattleboro select board.
Oh, yes. There will be all forms of schnecking.
Oh, boy. Because we talked about that on the show, too, being on the Brattleboro select board and being a gay male. Oh, I should put out there, probably should have said this at the top of the show, there is a reason that I am here in this studio and not in
WBW. We haven't talked about that.
Because people are probably thinking, where's the buzz?
Do you have a buzz on your show?
I'm used to the buzz in the background. It really gets me through the show. Where is that? I'm forced now to listen to the words.
It helps me sleep at night.
Yes. It gets me through your show. Where's the buzz? So, no, we are in the studios of WKVT here in Brattleboro. It's on a whole different street.
Yeah.
It's in a whole different area of Brattleboro. What happened, Steve?
There was a terrible, terrible fire.
There was.
Yeah. And well, let me put it this way. There was the kind of fire you want to have if you have to have one, where nobody gets killed or hurt.
By the way.
Yeah. Unbelievable to even say that out loud, the fire
of
the magnitude.
Unbelievable that nobody got hurt.
No kidding. Well, let me just say, and for those who don't know.
Pets included.
Yeah. It's a pretty astonishing story, the truth told. The very heart of our downtown here in Brattleboro on Main Street, an old building from the 1870s, the heartbeat of, and some businesses below it, 50 apartments, I believe, 49, 50 apartments, pretty affordable apartments for a lot of people, too. A lot of people living there. That this fire happened at 8:30 at night. Although it had been potentially smoldering for a full day before it burst. And not in the middle of some ice storm like we've had so many this winter.
Right.
The scenario was so that this fire would happen, would not destroy the building ultimately. People would lose pretty much everything they owned for sure, and their lives disrupted unbelievably so. But nobody died. We're not telling those stories, and that's a wonderful thing. But WVEW is no longer operational.
WVEWLP, Brattleboro Community Radio, second floor of the Brooks house, and was not affected by the fire, but the 50,000 gallons of water that were sprayed through the building, unfortunately, did.
Oh, no. Don't underestimate. There were literally millions of gallons of water.
Were there?
Literally
millions
of gallons.
Someone told me 50,000.
No, much more than that. They were doing, I can't remember what they said, 8,000 gallons a minute at one point.
Yeah. Usually the co-hosts don't correct me on the air, but yes, many gallons of water, perhaps mine, perhaps his estimate, but let's go with mine because I'm here every week. Thanks for having me here in the studio. But yeah, WVEW was just trashed. It was totaled. It was absolutely totaled. So we are looking for a new home. There are so many different ways that you can support these efforts, and it's really important. Community radio is a great voice. We had a nice meeting last night, and all these DJs that I didn't think were real people showed up, and it was great. So if you are in a position to give $5, $10, $20, just stroll on over to wvew.org. That's wvew.org/support. And $5, $10, $20, whatever you can do, I cannot tell you how much it is enormously appreciated. So that's what's going on for that. And I am determined to return to WVEW.
Yeah.
It's been my home for 2.5 years.
Absolutely. And VW as a concept, folks that won't know Brattleboro's history know about WRFB or just RFB, Radio Free Brattleboro, which was operating, let's just say, in ways it wasn't supposed to be. and WVEW became the fully sanctioned low-power FM station and an important voice in the community. Sometimes quirky and like, what the hell is this guy talking about?
Right.
Other times, you know, your show is fantastic. There are other really fantastic shows on there. And an important part of getting out there, non-commercial. I do commercial radio, which is sort of chuckly when you think about my paycheck. But community voices, mine, yours, all of ours that make up the whole, the fabric of
absolutely.
Brattleboro.
It's a landscape. Yeah. So if you're in a position to support, wvew.org/support. And Steve, that actually brings us to the end of our time together.
Whoa, you do short shows.
It goes very fast. Yeah. It goes very fast. There are so many ways, Steve, that our listeners can get in touch with us here. Look how it's us now. They can get in touch with us here on at This Show Is So Gay. Stroll on over to thisshowissogay.com. Check out past shows, look at our past guests, read about all the hosts, check out upcoming shows, amazing upcoming shows. Zoe Lewis like coming who? Up next week.
I know Zoe Lewis. Now, I mean, I knew her years ago. She's fantastically talented.
Her. Yeah. Robin Oakes, who is quite the noted, she really is one of the only folks out there talking about bisexuality.
Oh, very nice.
She's great. She's really great. And so tons of different folks. Ty Kuppig, who is the editor-in-chief of The Show T, which is a gay website for the gay sophisticate, which we're going to talk about what that means and how I'm probably not that.
Yeah, that's you don't aspire to be the gay sophisticate.
I was once. Mm-hmm.
Not in Vermont, mister.
And that sophomore year of college ended, and that was pretty much it. But yes, drop us an email at thisshowissogay@AOL.com. Every single email sent to thisshowissogay@AOL.com gets answered. It wakes me up at night. I
good
love
for
it.
You being that kind of conscientious.
Oh, I love it. That's I nice. Love those emails. And of course, stroll on over to the Facebook, type in This Show Is So Gay, like us, because we sure as heck like you. And you're done being the co-host.
Well, I'm rarely the co-pilot, I assure you. It's,
you did very well.
Thank you so much.
You have one more responsibility.
What's that?
You have one more responsibility. Do you know the tagline? Because I can tell you.
I don't.
Your key phrase is so gay. It's pretty That's easy.
It?
So gay. And you'll know exactly when it's your time to do that. Get out there, folks. Go do some amazing, amazing things. Make a difference. Use your voice. Support community radio. Download the Juliet song. Listen to KVT online.
Someday in the near future when they can do that kind of thing.
Drop Steve an email at
steve@1490wkvt.com.
Drop me an email at thisshowisogay.com. And above all else, get out there, folks. Remember, why be gay when you can be so gay? Very good.